All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Where it is a beautiful day on the lake as we welcome you back to the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Tuesday, April 18th. Coming up this hour up north, there are proposals for wind farms and people are needing information. There are farmers and landowners in Marathon and Clark counties being approached about signing agreements that would allow wind turbines to operate on their land. Is that good or bad? There are things to be said on several different angles, not just about renewable energy, but the impacts of wind turbines. What are the real impacts versus the ones that are scare tactics? There's, you know, money that people can get for using their land, but do they open themselves up for lawsuits? What's the language in the contract look like? There are just all these different facets. And so rather than just declare that, you know, all wind farms are good or all wind farms are bad, we thought we'd try to get into it without less about telling information, but instead crowdsourcing. What is it that we need to know? What is it that is, you know, helpful information versus unfounded speculation? So we will talk to Hans Breitenmoser later in this hour. We'll talk to Chad Holmes from Bull Falls Radio up in Marathon County as well. And we'll try to work through balancing the benefits and the questions so that everybody from landowners to consumers can have some good information and some good talking points, not just what they're fed by somebody at the far ends, pro or con, of wind power. And to that end, if you have questions yourself, points that you want to make. Now, bear in mind, if you make a point, if you've got a take on, you know, wind power, and if it sounds fanciful or unfounded, you know, you might get challenged on it. But I definitely want to know what you think as we try to figure out what is unknown and where can we fill in the blanks. And so to do that, you can join the conversation at any point by calling 844-967-2789 or the Up North line 715-388-7155 or send us an email radio@upnorthnewswi.com. So we'll get into that in a little bit. But first off, we've been continuing a theme today. There've just been a whole lot of short headline stories, mostly about things that Republicans have been saying or doing that we thought that you should know about, and put a little perspective on each one of them. And the latest example is one about a new bill that's circulating at the state capitol being branded by Republicans as not a flat tax, but it's a flat tax. That's really what it looks like when you look at it. Under this bill, there are currently four income tax brackets in the state of Wisconsin. Under this bill, they would eventually collapse each year toward 2028. And by 2028, everyone making more than $7,500 would be taxed at 4.5%. Now, listen, I did not misspeak. I did not mean $75,000. I said this bill says if your income is as low as $7,500 a year, you will pay the same tax rate as a billionaire, whether it's a Diane Hendricks, a John Menard, a Dick Eline. Those multi billionaires will pay the same tax rate as somebody whose salary was $7,500 a year. It would eventually move to a flat tax of 3.54% is one of the proposals that was out before this bill was introduced. And back when that was the proposal, 3.54%, not 4.5%, well, we understood by looking at it, it would result in monstrous gains for the richest taxpayers. I mean, their tax bills would drop immensely, as would state tax revenue. State revenue in the first year of a 3.54% proposal, state revenue would drop by $5.5 billion. So really what Republicans are talking about doing is taking that record $7 billion surplus that they've been sitting on for over a year, carving out $5.5 billion of that and handing it out in a tax cut that is primarily toward millionaires and billionaires, solving zero problems of things that are out there, because that money is not trickling down to fix our roads and fix our schools and provide other economic incentives to, you know, attract and retain a good workforce in Wisconsin. It does none of those things the way that, say, a targeted middle-class tax cut would, as proposed by Governor Evers. But again, even in this bill, we don't know exactly what all Republican legislators are saying they would cut first when you cut out, you know, some $5 billion in state revenue. That lack of specifics is very similar to what we're seeing in Washington, D.C., where, again, the nation is heading toward default because Republicans in Congress don't want to pay the bills that they had already agreed to pay. And so House Speaker Kevin McCarthy continues to say to President Biden, you need to negotiate with me. President Biden says, we're not negotiating on the debt ceiling. We can negotiate on the budget, but you can't let the U.S. go into default on spending that you have already authorized. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy has responded that, well, maybe he's open to a one-year extension of the debt ceiling. Well, what does that do? That moves it into 2024 when every member of Congress is up for re-election. Who thinks that's a great idea? So again, until we get specific ideas, specific cuts from Republicans at both the congressional and the legislative level, they're just not doing their constituents or their country any favors whatsoever. Jennifer Vachitsky, meteorologist with Weatherology, has our forecast heading into midweek, coming up next on Up North News Radio. Summer breeze right about now. Our friend Kristen Lyerly drove all the way across Wisconsin yesterday, mostly along Highway 29, and sent photos when she got caught up in that snow band, which was basically just east of Chippewa, stretching to just west of Wausau. And if you didn't see the radar, it was amazing to see this band of snow. It was like a pinwheel, but it was just like a river of snow, just running from like the Ashland Bayfield area down through, you know, the heart of western Wisconsin and down. And if you've seen those snowfall totals, I mean, roughly 20, 22 inches in a lot of those portions in Clark County, parts of Rusk County, a little bit of Marathon County, just, I guess, impressive, but not impressive in a great way if you're living in there. But anyway, that is behind us now. And so we're going to look ahead for midweek and the rest of the week with Jennifer Vachitsky, meteorologist with Weatherology. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning to you.
So we did have an interesting amount of snow that fell throughout the area, and now we get some time to melt it and to continue to wonder, is that the last time? Well, what's our forecast look like for the rest of this week?
I know. I feel like we've said that a few times already. Is that the last time? Is that the last time? Yeah. So thankfully, exactly, we'll have a little bit of a break. But like you said, some areas ended up getting quite a bit of snow. I believe the highest amount that I've seen was 23 inches around Neillsville. So, yeah, hopefully they'll be able to get some melting here soon. Today looks like lots of sunny skies across much of the state today with highs in the upper 40s, low 50s, slightly below those seasonal averages for this time of the year of the mid to upper 50s. For tomorrow, Richland Center to south the southern parts of the state, Madison over to Milwaukee. Chances for showers and thunderstorms for those areas with a marginal risk for severe weather as a warm front begins to push through. Main threats right now look to be large hail and damaging winds, so definitely something we'll be keeping an eye on for tomorrow into tomorrow night. Warmer for the most part, close to those seasonal averages for those areas. For the central and west central parts of the state tomorrow, looking at areas of rain mixing with freezing rain in the morning, then becoming all rain. So a few slick spots in the morning, so to be aware of. Highs also slightly cooler for the day, but not much of an overall difference between today and tomorrow. Thursday, though, looks like overall warmer temperatures as that warm front fully pushes through, with a pretty decent chance for rain for everyone, potentially mixing with snow becoming all snow in the evening hours into the overnight around Baldwin and Amory. Then on Friday, a cold front comes in directly behind that warm front that we're looking at here today and tomorrow. So starting to cool down a little bit more here for the end of the work week. More average in the south with slight chances for rain, slightly below average around Oshkosh over to Wausau, also with slight chances for rain, and then more of a 10 degrees below average in the west central parts of Wisconsin Friday with chances for rain and snow mixing in the morning before then becoming all rain for the day.
All right, quite the mixed bag there. But again, we've still got time before, you know, we have to start looking at the fishing opener and what kind of weather we're going to have there. So let's get all of it out of its system. Jennifer, thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Jennifer Vachitsky from Weatherology joining us. We have not had a chance lately to remind you that this isn't just a radio show. We are so much more. We are a podcast. We are a live video feed. And so give me a moment here just to lay out all the different ways, especially if you're new to the show, that you can listen not just to this fine program, but all of the other programs along the Civic Media Radio Network, with more stations being added all the time. We are on the cusp of another couple of big announcements I'm very excited about. The main website is civicmedia.us. And then there's a page you can click that says shows. And under there, you can click for Up North News Radio or the Todd Alba Show or, you know, Dueling Tangents, you know, whatever the case may be. Click on that show page and it will list for you hour by hour, you know, each of the programs that we've had in the past. So in our case, there's a 6 a.m. hour and a 7 a.m. hour. Each of those is turned into a separate episode of a podcast so that if you can't listen as a radio show, you can still subscribe as a podcast, and you can, your phone will update, or whatever device you use will update when you want to listen to, you know, yesterday's As Goes Wisconsin, maybe the first hour, maybe the second hour, maybe the third hour, maybe just the third hour, whatever the case may be. Go to the show page, subscribe to your favorite shows as a podcast, and give them a listen there if you can't be listening on the radio station. So be sure you give that a go as well. A reminder that Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media. We are thrilled to be able to be on Civic Media stations from 6 to 8 every morning, but you can find the work we do over at upnorthnewswi.com or upnorthnewswi on social media. And our email address would be radio@upnorthnewswi.com. You heard from Christina Laurie in our last hour. She puts together a daily newsletter, currently gets sent out, I think, every morning around 5 a.m. So she's working on it throughout the day. And then she has some good news near the top, and then some blurbs from me in terms of the day and in political news down near the bottom. So we would love to have you subscribe to that newsletter as well. All right. Housekeeping's out of the way, except for reminding you that our phone lines here are open at 844-967-2789 or the Up North line, 715-388-7155. And one of the things we're asking of you today is, do you have certain questions about wind power that you would like us to try to get the answers to by crowdsourcing, by talking to experts, by talking to policymakers? We're going to talk a bit more about this with Hans Breitenmoser coming up in our next segment. But I just want to set it up by saying that the issue of wind turbines being on land, your land or a neighbor's land in Wisconsin, is definitely an adjacent issue to renewable energy overall. And again, much like at Up North News, we tell you where our values are and then our coverage is shaped around it so that you get an informed look at what we're doing. We don't try to hide anything from you. So it goes with renewable energy. This is one of those issues that is not necessarily a partisan issue. And it reminds me of the smoking ban debate when I was in the legislature. It was definitely not a partisan issue whatsoever. You had both Democrats and Republicans who were passionate on both sides of the issue, either that smoking had to be banned in these instances. It was everything from a matter of life and death to a matter of convenience. And then you had people equally passionate that it was either about individual liberties or the economic impact on bars and restaurants that would happen, you know, if a smoking ban were to be passed. And so it was not a Democratic or a Republican thing. It was almost refreshing to have an issue that wasn't partisan. And that, I think, is what we have with wind power right now. And I think that if Hans Breitenmoser doesn't mind, I see he's there, so I'm going to rope him into the conversation a little early if he doesn't mind. Hans, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you just great. So usual disclaimer, Hans tells us that there are hamsters running on the wheels that power the internet up there. So if you're watching us on a live feed, occasionally, if he sees any glitches, he turns his camera off. But right now you're coming in loud and clear. You're looking good. How are things up in the Merrill area?
Yeah, just sunshine and 70 degrees. All right, sunshine and 27 degrees.
27, a little different than what we had last week.
That's right.
What does that do, from a farming perspective, when you get such a late snow like that? My assumption would be that it's somewhat of a blessing. It's like getting an early spring rain, but in a softer form that gradually melts into the ground, unlike a hard rain. Is that kind of what we've got going, or when you get 2 feet of snow all at once, does that kind of dilute the impact?
Well, I appreciate the fact that you're trying to put such a nice silver lining on.
I'm trying, man. I'm trying. Because I know last week we were talking about people itching to get out planting, and that's definitely not going to happen after a 2 foot snowfall.
Yeah, well, I feel like there must have been a lot of people itching to use their snowplow one more time, and the gods decided that they had the upper hand. I don't know. As far as the farming part of things goes, it kind of speaks to how quickly it melts again. You know, if it's all going to run into the rivers and into the creeks and so forth that are already pretty swollen. As far as getting a late start, I mean, we are still in April in northern Wisconsin, so it's not like, under normal circumstances, we don't have anything in the ground just yet anyways. But we were getting real close to, getting out there and starting to working up some ground, yeah.
Would have been, anything that can lengthen the growing season would be a good thing. So we'll watch that, and we'll continue to hope for all the best out there. So as we were discussing, things to visit about today, you called my attention to, proposals that are out there for wind turbines. And as I was looking into the specifics of what is getting talked about, especially up in Marathon County, it reminded me, as I was saying right before we looped you into the conversation here, that there are plenty of people like me who are very much in favor of renewable energy, but also bear in mind there's a difference, when the wind turbine's going to go up, on the farm next door, or if you're the landowner, if it's going to go up on your land, suddenly you have to look at it a little bit differently. It's not just a green energy standpoint. It's what's our liability? Is there cost involved? Is there benefit involved? And I know one of the things I got a lot as a legislator, back then, was claims about the impact of wind turbines that weren't necessarily borne out by, actual science, but there were enough anecdotal things mentioned that, I felt like they had to be looked into. So that's kind of what we're going to do here today. What prompted this for you when you brought it up? Was there just a lot of buzz about farmers talking about being approached about a company to put turbines on their land?
Yeah, well, I had a couple of different conversations with some Marathon County farmers, and that's how I was introduced to it. And on my way to Equity Livestock in Stratford every Monday morning, going down 97 for the past few weeks now, I've seen these little signs on the ends of people's driveways that are, no turbines. And, according to some of the farmers that I spoke with, there is some heartburn out in the countryside, because it's one more thing that gets people pretty passionate. And because it is one of those not in my backyard type of issues, people get pretty excited about it. And then I think on top of that, in the past, number of years, wind, like every other thing we discuss, has become politicized as well to a certain extent. So people are coming at it from that standpoint as well, unfortunately.
And I would say, I'm glad you brought that up, because of all the angles I've already mentioned, I actually didn't bring up the political one from the standpoint of, and this frustrates me greatly, that there is a political class in this country that will do anything that the big oil companies tell them to do, which includes basically making up stuff about wind and solar and other forms of renewable energy. I mean, I chaired a legislative committee on biofuels, and the things we heard about that were again, not necessarily borne out by the facts. And these kinds of scare tactics again, they throw me for a loop, Hans, because I'm old enough, barely, but I'm old enough to remember the 1973 Arab oil embargo. Yep. And thinking as a kid, yeah, why would we want to stay dependent on, you know, foreign oil or on oil itself if we don't have to be?
Exactly. And I think Wisconsin is that on steroids, right? Because we have no fossil fuels. We don't produce any fossil fuels. So why wouldn't we at least consider what resources that we have here in the state of Wisconsin and see which ones are appropriate to tap and where and how and so forth, rather than continue to export these dollars on dirty fuel that, you know, everybody knows is at some point sort of yesterday's technology and we need
exactly.
to move forward.
That's right. So we'll take a break and continue this conversation with Hans Breitenmoser and your calls if you have them with questions about wind power. That's all coming up in just a bit. You're up north.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind.
Now, I mentioned that we were going to crowdsource from all the listeners, either through phone calls or Facebook comments. What questions do you have about wind power and things like that? I should also note that we're crowdsourcing pretty much anything else, you know, that you need out there. This comment just came up from Doug Packard asking if there was a Paul Bunyan and Babe the Blue Ox in Lakewood on Highway 32 at one time. He's interested as he was born in that little burg back in 1935. So if anybody can help on, because if there's one thing we love in Wisconsin, it's our fiberglass animals and other statues. So if you're aware of a Paul Bunyan and Babe in Lakewood on Highway 32, you can either call or put some comments on the Facebook page. And, you know, let's help Doug out there answering that question. Let's bring Hans Breitenmoser back in for the questions that we're asking about wind power. And getting back specifically to a proposal in Marathon County, and I'm looking at some of the news coverage at the time from Channel 9 in Wausau and also from the Record Review newspaper, where folks in rural Athens were mulling over, you know, this proposal to put turbines on their land. And Hans, it's one thing, again, to talk about renewable energy. It's also one thing to talk about the impact, good or bad, of having these on your land. But here's the other thing that really caught my eye was that there were these folks from a company called Invenergy. It looks like it's one of those, you know, one of those names, Invenergy. Mm-hmm. And they're circulating these potential agreements. And here's the thing you got to know about farmers. They're going to read everything. I'm married to a farm girl. And I mean, she reads everything. And, you know, whoever we're talking to, sales rep or whatever, is looking like, gosh, nobody ever reads all these. She does. And farmers do. And they're looking at these and they got questions. It's not that they're necessarily pro or con on that, but they don't want to be roped into something that financially or legally could come back to bite them later.
Yeah, for sure. And that's one of the conversations that I was having with a couple producers the other day, which is to say, as individual farmers, while we may read the fine print more so than normal people, and I'm not entirely sure that's true, but ultimately we're individuals. We're very small compared to a big wind development. And so I hope that as, you know, as these projects sort of go forward, that farmers would get together, and maybe this is a place where Farm Bureau or Wisconsin Farmers Union would have some horsepower to say, okay, we have you know, staff that can look at contracts and so forth and understand these things and be advocates for individual landowners, and also townships and counties. Townships and counties have a lot to gain financially through a good agreement with a wind developer. And I think so do landowners, but there's no reason why we should leave any money on the table. The land, the wind developers need this land as much as, you know, I mean, that's the raw material, right? They can't do it without the access to the land. So there's no reason why this should be a situation of just, you know, extraction. There's every reason why individual landowners should profit from this and do well from it, and also be in a position with the help of some organizations or the townships or the counties to really understand the fine print and make sure that when, a turbine is decommissioned, what happens then? What is the easement involved? You know, is that what, how much access does that give and so forth? I really think that if done properly, these things can be a win-win for people in the townships, the townships and counties themselves, and, and clean energy.
I am so glad that you brought up the fees and the other financial part of it. The parallel is striking to what we had in this area in Chippewa County with sand mines and all the farms that were approached to, dig for a special kind of sand, on their land. And again, this was going back to my early time in the Senate and people saying, well, where are you on this? And I said, above all else, once you take away the energy, whether it's good or bad, remember the money. You have one shot to sign a contract as an individual. You have one shot as a township to work on an ordinance. So whatever it is, as much as I'm in favor of, economic development and new energy and such, get that money up front.
Yes.
don't undersell what your fee should be. Don't undersell what you're asking for on the land, because again, you get one crack at it. And after that, once the ink is dry, if that company either, like you said, either has just tremendous profits, they don't have to share it. Or if they go out of business, and like you said, if they didn't set up any kind of a mitigation plan or a closure plan, the municipality or the landowner are left holding the bag. So yes, above all else, get the best deal you can before you move forward.
Right. And I think the only way to do that is to have access to the best legal power to help you get the best deal. Because as individuals and even as townships and counties, I mean, I know I'm from a rural township and a rural county. We can't lawyer up the way a big company can. And I also feel it's important, at the risk of sounding naive, that we go into these discussions in good faith. I mean, I don't want to stand here and make it sound like all these wind developers are great big crooks, and we do the snidely whiplash mustache thing.
right.
But because I don't necessarily believe that's true. But obviously these companies are run by smart people, and they're looking to maximize their profits. And then to complicate things in terms of the moving parts a little bit more is, now we're 10 years ago, we weren't talking about carbon offsets. Now we are, and who gets the money from those, and that type of stuff. So I think there's a lot of moving parts, and I hope that just doesn't shut individual landowners and townships completely down. I think that they need to, open their minds and say, okay, how can we get the best legal representation and make sure that we get the best deal on the table, and then decide, this makes sense for us, or no, it doesn't.
We want to know what kind of questions you have out there. And let's see, Devin from Cross Plains submitted a question saying, could homeowners potentially get a tax credit for using wind power and maybe even their own smaller towers? The answer to the first question is yes, in many cases. The answer to the second question is it really depends, because it depends whether you're being served by a major utility or like a small cooperative. And so these questions at the homeowner level, they're very good questions. And there are so many things in the Inflation Reduction Act that are meant to provide tax credits for everything from insulating your house to energy efficient appliances to, I'm sure there's probably other forms of alternative power that are in there. So you really want to find out first and foremost about the Inflation Reduction Act, and not so much that, there's anything new that has to happen by, say, a wind power proposal that's in your area. Let's see. So we wanted to, again, make sure that you have questions. You give a chance to call us at 844-967-2789. And look, the company that's doing this in Evenergy, I don't know. They have a wind farm in Dodge and Fond du Lac counties that sits on about 4,000 acres of land. They own a couple of solar farms. And look, Hans, every time I pass by one of these, wind farms, it makes me happy. But again, I don't live on the land. I see that and I go, good. Those are fewer, you know, oil wells that we need. That's a pipeline that's not gonna, you know, rupture, you know, up on the bad river or something like that. So the net global positive is a good thing. But again, it's you know, how much disruption is there in putting something like this in?
Absolutely. And I agree. I mean, when I drive through those areas, I'm kind of I think they're kind of cool, but to be fair, I don't live next to one. Now, I've always, you know, taken the time to, you know, get out of the vehicle and hear what I can hear and just sort of be in the presence of them. You know, but based on what I know, the decibel level is pretty low and so forth. And I think we do have, you know, with the setbacks mandated here, where I think homeowners are fairly safe in terms of ag. A lot of farmers are in favor of them because, you know, quite honestly, if they can make a few bucks off of them and have a wind turbine sucking up 1 acre in, you know, 40 or 80 versus a McMansion, the wind turbine doesn't complain about, you know, the smell of manure when we spread it and so forth. So they're easier neighbors from that standpoint, you know, and I'm being a little bit snarky. But I do totally understand the concern of Joe or Jane Q homeowner that has a couple thousand, a couple $100,000 home. And if they're concerned that the value of their home goes down because of the proximity to a wind turbine, I mean, that's their concern. And that should be taken very, very seriously, because if that actually does happen, if that does drop their property value, then that's a legitimate concern, you know, that they have to deal with. It's a real financial thing.
Yeah. And when it comes to the elements of the contract, you mentioned setback, we've talked about the price. There might also need to be something that has a limit either on the height, because some of these turbines are being built, you know, taller all the time. Mm-hmm. Is that what you want? Should there be some kind of a size limit? And then the length of the agreement. One person in one of these news stories talked about being locked into a 67-year contract. Now, again, I understand that, you know, these companies don't want to be coming in and putting up, you know, all these expensive turbines and then, you know, being told 5 years later to take it down. I get that they want certainty. 67 years, you know, sounds a bit much. So yeah. I guess, Hans, one of the things that we should ask, you know, collectively, when you talked about legal advice on these things, is whether there is an entity right now, could be just a private law firm that specializes in this. It could be, you know, some kind of an agricultural or renewable energy group. Does somebody already provide some of these answers, some of this legal guidance? And if so, maybe we need to find them and put them on and see what they have to say about this, so that every landowner, every farmer doesn't feel like they're doing this all alone.
Right. Yeah. I know of no one, but I just, again, in my conversations with a couple other guys, you know, the past couple weeks, you know, we concluded that this might be a space for Farmers Union or Farm Bureau, because if those organizations are legitimately concerned about keeping small farms on the land, and this has an impact on them, and it could have a very good impact on them, but it could have a negative impact if these contracts aren't done right and everybody understands, you know, what their obligations are.
And that's where, again, I'd come to the point about good information. You know, just because, as it mentions in one of the articles, just because somebody put up a video on YouTube, you know, does not make that, you know, the last word. It doesn't mean that the right video hasn't been modified in some way to enhance the amount of noise or enhance the amount of flicker in there. So we're looking for that, I don't know if I can say unbiased source, but at least, you know, sources where you know where they're coming from and be able to judge them accordingly on things like noise and flicker or whatnot. So that's interesting that you mentioned Farmers Union might be looking to play a role in that, because, I mean, that's about as honest a broker as I can think of.
Well, again, I mean, I'm just using Farmers Union as an example, and I've not had these conversations with them yet, but I certainly intend to. As far as they're somebody who's in this space that is all about protecting farmers and protecting, you know, rural landowners and so forth. And So yeah, I think that just makes some sense. I think they would have the horsepower. And National Farmers Union being national, I'm sure they've run into this situation in other states. We're just sort of starting this in Wisconsin because historically we haven't had the wind resource, but now with new technology, apparently we're getting to a place where we're a better resource than we once were.
Right. And now one last thing to note about it is that there are ads that are going in newspapers and apparently, and again, I haven't confirmed this, but I don't have reason to believe the ads are not telling the truth here, that there are all kinds of towns having their annual meetings tonight around Clark and Marathon counties. And so in closing, just to say, if you live in one of these towns that has an annual meeting tonight, go to it just to learn, if nothing else. And this is something that we're going to take time to learn about. There's no rush to get anything done, but we also, right, there's no rush to dismiss it either. Let's all learn together how this might work. Hans Breitenmoser, thank you so much. Great to talk to you about this.
Thank you, Pat. Yeah. Enjoy the weather.
Which one? It's hard to tell at any given point.
And you know what? Enjoy all of them. Because
yes,
what else are you going to do?
The whole theater of seasons. Back with Chad Holmes next. You're up north. Well, Milwaukee Brewers pitcher Corbin Burns says he wasn't going to push too hard after feeling some tightness in his chest a couple of innings after helping tag out a runner in a rundown. So Corbin Burns left after 5 1/3 innings, but still did well enough that the Brewers beat the Seattle Mariners late last night, 7-3. So that's their fourth win in the past five games. Bryce Terang hit his second dinger of the season. They will pitch or play again tonight at 8:40. Colin Ray on the mound. Then a Wednesday afternoon game tomorrow, Thursday's off, and then they begin a nine-game homestand, which I would like to get down to and maybe see a game. Chad Holmes joins us now from Wausau. He calls a million sports events a year. Chad, do you get down to American Family Field at all and just be able to be a spectator?
Not to tout it, but Friday I will be at American Family Field.
Not to tout it, Chad, but Friday I will be at American Family Field. So we're finally going to get to meet in person.
Not to tout it, Chad and Pat, actually, but on Friday I will be at American Family Field.
Holy cow. Aaron's going to be there too.
It's very nice because, on Friday on the field, the Newman Catholic football team and basketball teams who both won state championships this season are going to be introduced. So I'm going down on the bus with those groups, and it should be just a lot of fun.
Well, how great is that? Good for you. Yeah. You're going to get to be on the field as a working journalist to cover the ceremony?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
Well, I'll grab the microphone and introduce. I know all their names, so.
Hey, there you go. Well, look, one of the things they have during Brewer games is they have the kid announcer. So maybe they can have a guest announcer for this.
Who knows? But the whole thing is, it's about, it's really something that would be cool for those guys to be on the field at American Family, be introduced, and they earned it. So it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, good for them. That's great. So, well, good. It'll be, we'll definitely look to bump into you. I'm looking to have a better experience than my last Brewer game. Buddy and I went late last year. We took one of the shuttle buses from a tavern in the Milwaukee area, and we kind of lollygagged, and by the time we got to the shuttle bus area, apparently they only ran it one time. And so we were stuck there for like over an hour after the game. And finally, we were like the last ones out of the parking lot finding a cab. So I'm hoping my luck is a little better this time. I'm going to try to pay attention.
I got to tell you, I don't miss back in the day, radio stations I've worked for would have these Brewer buses. And people would really have a good time at these games.
Yes, they would.
And sometimes you would have to go and find some people because, hey, we're missing two people before the bus leaves. And there was fun aspects of that, but I am so glad to not have to be responsible for something like that anymore.
Because you're glad to not be a sheepdog. My wife and I had to do that a bunch on holiday vacations trips, and we loved it. We missed doing that very much, and we would love to work with holiday vacations again. But you're working there with mostly an older crowd, usually a travel-savvy crowd, but you are also part sheepdog because there's always somebody who got caught up in the gift shop, or got to talking to one. It's like, no, you can't talk to the guards at the Vatican. They're not allowed to talk to you, but you keep trying anyway. And you finally have to get Mabel, get her back on the bus. So yeah, the sheepdog part of it is a little suboptimal, shall we say. All right, look, with all the sports you've been covering, you've also been covering, news and such on the Chad Holmes show on Bull Falls Radio, 2 to 4 p.m. If you are not getting that on your local civic media station, go to civicmedia.us and get it that way. Get it as a podcast. I believe you had our friend Bob Look on yesterday.
Yeah, it's always fun to talk because there are just times where you like to bounce things off each other. And yes, Bob knows what's going on in a lot of different areas that we're talking about. Because I just think that this time, especially with the budget, there are times where I just need to talk about it because I gird myself. I was looking at some stories last week about the potential of what the tax changes could be doing to our budget. And, it's just because when you have split government, you're not going to get everything you want. So I keep telling people I'm girding myself for the things I'm not going to like, but I want to also hear about the things I'm going to like because we do have Governor Evers still involved in these negotiations. So it's interesting to talk about that. And also, again, he ran last time around, and I try to find out more about what the people are thinking in our area, because even in the last election when we had Janet Protasiewicz win by a great margin, here in Marathon County, Daniel Kelly, who, again, as we've talked about, universally is a bad candidate, still was able to receive pretty significantly more votes in this county. What are we what can we do to change that? In talking to Bob yesterday, it's not about the people that are voting, say, for Dan Kelly or voting for his opponent in the last election, Corey Tomchek. It's about getting the people who aren't voting to the polls.
Exactly.
Give them reasons to get there. You're not going to win by trying to change over all these people. There are so many. If you look at those percentages, even earlier this month, it feels like it's been longer than 2 weeks, but it's earlier this month. But that's where we have to be better. We have to find a way to get a higher percentage. And it's not just the candidates. We're talking about yesterday, again, the idea of a Tuesday election.
Yes,
there are ways to get more people, because we're talking about, you said there's people that have two jobs, people that just frankly, people say, oh, you got all day. Well, for some people between 8 a.m. and 7 a.m. and 8 p.m., you're not able to get there. So
that's right. Yeah, and that's where, and so when you have an entire political class that's making it harder to vote, making it harder to vote early, making it impossible to use a drop box, that should be telling. It is great that we got turnout up to 40%, unheard of for an April election. But again, that's still 60% of the people who couldn't be bothered to look into it and vote, or had, like you said, legitimate reasons for not being able to. And yeah, Bob is great about that because, again, Bob knows a million people, as do you and I, and we know the folks who, they feel like they can't be bothered, that they don't do politics. And I'm trying to explain to them, well, if you don't do politics, politics is going to do you. And then you're just going to, gripe about it. The unfortunate thing is that we now, in this day and age, we solve problems, quote unquote, solve problems from the other extreme, the extreme of neither one of us change our positions for the longest time. Let's wait till things go to hell. Then we'll see whose supporters scream louder that they have to basically cry uncle. When it used to be, you'd be at the other end of the spectrum and you'd say, okay, we have this problem. Where can we find agreement? What has the votes to pass? And we don't start from that position anymore. And that's a damn shame.
And that's one of the things I mentioned yesterday as well in our conversation is you have the governor who puts out a budget and immediately the Republicans say, well, we're starting all over again.
Yeah.
Wouldn't the whole process go much better if they agreed with 15% of what the governor, and I'm putting a low number, mm-hmm. but there is always something you can build on. But when you say, we're not going to do anything with that budget, we're going to wipe it clean, not even bother to acknowledge it, the whole process starts on a wrong foot.
Yes, and it tells you something about their style of leadership that shouldn't be rewarded. Chad Holmes on from 2 to 4 weekdays on Bull Falls Radio. Thank you, sir.
You bet. Thank you.
Have a great day. Tomorrow we will have State Assembly Representative Katrina Shanklin talking about Earth Day and clean water policies that the legislature could be considering. Have a great Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow.